It's the beginning of the year, so that means we have predictions and an app or two, and the manager writes a song. Episode 526, recorded January 3rd, 2019, our first episode of 2019, and the first in a while that I've been here. So I don't know if you guys did shows without me or not, but we'll talk about that in a minute. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and I'm the host of this hereby rambling wreck of a show. But the people you really want to hear from, the reason you're here, the reason you're waiting for me to shut up, our door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the manager, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. Hey, is it a bi-rambling mess of a show, or is it a tri-rambling mess of a show?
We'll find out, won't we?
We got three. Well, yeah, maybe two of us. Two of you guys will be rambling and make it a mess, and I'll just try to keep you guys within the, you know, out-of-bound limits, the whatever they call them, goal lines. Well, not goal lines. What's
inbounds?
Out-of-bound? Yeah. What is it? Sidelines. I'll keep you in the sidelines. Hey, the Bears are going to the playoffs.
So are the Cowboys.
Go Bears. You a Cowboys fan?
Oh, he is diehard Cowboys fan. Oh, yeah. He's the only Cowboys fan I know that I can hold a conversation with, and he is intelligent.
Okay. I wasn't going to say it.
Well, because at my job, I got a couple Cowboys fans, and it is so easy to get them just completely off balance and upset and irate and brrr.
I'm okay as long as it's not the Packers. I don't care who you like.
My second favorite team is the Packers, actually.
Yeah, that would make sense. I still like you, though, man. You can keep trying.
I like Stardew Valley. Does that count?
So the last time I was here, it was before Thanksgiving. And I took the month of November or December off from my other podcast, and Doris sent me an email. He said, hey, does that mean that you're not going to be doing Android App Addicts in December? So no, I'm still planning on doing that. And I do a single show of Android App Addicts in December.
Well, one night right. You had a kid thing. I know one night I had a kid thing.
The usual family stuff.
But then I think there was another, I can't remember what happened the third time. And the fourth time, I don't know about you guys, I just literally forgot.
I don't know if I forgot, but there's always been something going on for me, I think, every time.
December is a crazy time of year where you know, stuff happens, man. People are just all over the place. But yeah, I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back in the on the old ball behind the microphone. And glad to see you guys. I missed you.
Same here, man. Oh, I changed the Silicon Studio a little bit. I painted a wall, moved the computers to the other side of the room. So hopefully it'll improve the quality of something. I don't know. I don't know if it will or not. I got some rugs hanging from the wall to, you know, make some sound deadening. I don't know if that'll help either. We'll give it a try.
Well, here's the worst of the best kind of thing. Just because now the majority of your screen is stationary, single color, not moving, not changing under any circumstance, you're going to use less bandwidth, then you should see less of a bandwidth issue over the long period of time. The bad is then you are talking about you want to get a little bit more zoomed in, which will then change that ratio of moving pixels versus non-moving pixels, which will then bring your bandwidth overall usage a little bit up and then change your quality just a little bit more down. So honestly, I'd say right now your camera's probably fine. I'm not going to say it's perfect, but it's usable, I think.
Well, I will be getting, hopefully fairly soon, gig synchronous. Giggity. Yeah, gig up and down. So.
Well, dude, we're going to put some servers in your basement.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I have theoretically, well, you know, up to 1 gig, as they say. I haven't had a gig ever. But at the same time, I feel like a real D-bag calling them up and saying, I'm only getting 780 megs down, you know. So I just...
What do you get up?
I usually get about 900 up and 650.
Yeah, that's how it does work, too. That's close enough.
I would complain. Damn right. I'll say this, Eric. I'm going to say your camera's fine. I'm going to say my camera's fine. I'm going to say Mark's camera's fine. We don't really need to go, I'll say, crazy right now, especially because now Google Hangouts is going to be transitioning to Google Hangouts Chat, which is a different application. I believe we're still going to be able to do this multi-chat, video chat, where that's how we do the video part of the show. I don't know. I think we're going to be able to still do this again, but let's not overreact or change too much, because maybe in Google Hangouts chat, we'll have extra video controls available to us. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Toolbox will come back.
Well, that would be nice. But this is one of the age-old problems, aka one of the problems of the last like 20-ish years, ever since like IE 3.0, I'd say, Mark, if I'm saying, which is getting really in-depth, detailed, complex hardware controls in an application that was never meant to have fine-grained, detailed hardware controls in it, like a web browser.
Yeah, well, the web browser is the new OS. I mean, it's the OS that sits on top of whatever your OS is, and it's the common denominator these days. And I think I'm okay with that. I had a hard time with it at first, but I think I've made my peace with it.
I'm okay with it, because what choice do we have? But in reality, I really want security to be really, like, important. But not only security, but the ability for end users, aka stupid people, you know, like me, to be able to easily audit what kind of information is or is not being shared at any one place. And as long as Google is ruling the roost in browsers, that choice will never be available to us. You know.
Yeah. I was impressed with the Google Stream playing the games over a crappy computer on top of Chrome. That did shed a little light on the whole thing as far as usefulness, but I mean the security and everything else.
Right. The two things I would say in technology. One, did you guys see there's a service? I can get you the link. It charges around $20 a month. It is a remote through your web browser rentable monthly Windows operating system, where it's geared at to where you can literally install higher end games to do it. But there's no reason why businesses or smaller people cannot get the lowest tier plan and have literally inside of your browser a dedicated stagnant like state of an operating system to where you can install things on it, access it later, talking about the browser's the OS. Well, and then it's going to basically invert into itself, and via the browser, you'll be able to access probably a more powerful desktop than what most people are going to be accustomed to.
I think I did. Now, do they offer different packages where you would actually get Photoshop and like some Adobe products where you would end up paying, you know, I think I pay $16 a month right now for just Acrobat Pro.
Right.
So that would be, yeah, that'd be worth it. Instead of, and then rather than spending, you know, $1,400 for a new computer every 5 years, you know, with the, you know, other than swapping out, you know, keyboards that lost their letters or things like that. That's a smart choice as long as it can be secure. I mean, if you're going to use it in business and you've got, you know,
it depends. Yeah,
personnel.
It
files
depends on
and
how
stuff.
You define secure. Is the
that would be my biggest one. Issue with it? Using it, I'd love to use it at work. I'm up for a new computer because my hard drives
state
are
government,
awful.
State, local, and federal government will be the last people to use this. Is what I'll say. But like, if you're doing like CAD type work, here's my logic. You don't have to worry about hardware failure. You basically rent out that liability and you write it off as, now I don't have to worry about hardware failure. As long as I got a Chromebook, technically I can access my quote unquote computer.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's
hasn't this
nice.
Been done a time good, or two yeah. before? Remember the PlayOn service did this?
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Yes. I mean, what
the difference is, yeah, they have, and this is just another iteration of it. And I don't know if this is the iteration or the beginning of the iteration. Sooner or later, it's going to have to work. Is my
well, the thing that brought down PlayOn, I think that's the right name. It was Play Something. The thing that brought that down was licensing. It wasn't the technology. It was Microsoft licensing brought it down.
Well, and that's what I don't understand, because I don't know about you, Mark, but when I looked at Microsoft desktop virtual licenses, they were almost 10 times the price of the normal installable license. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know if they're just buying in bulk enough or whatever, but it's literally only like $20 a month for the base software and literally running what would be considered today a higher end video card, above average video card to run games. So I'll get you guys a link and I'll shoot it to you. And but the other browser-based thing that I think, and you know, it's not necessarily Android-related, but Microsoft is dumping Edge, going with a Chromium base. Google will then easily own well in excess of, what, 80% of the desktop?
Yeah, I don't like that.
All right, I'm going to call BS on that. I've heard that argument several times. No,
Microsoft's
fine. The statement that Google is going to own it. Google produces a product.
The Google code.
Microsoft is going to take that product and totally do whatever they want to with it. It's an open source product. It's not going to be a Google product. And I hear that all the time that, you know, because Google owns Android. Google doesn't own Android. Google builds AOSP, and then everything else is built around it. And, you know, and to say that Google owns all this stuff is just, it's FUD.
Google completely owns Android in the sense of they own its future.
No, they don't. Anybody can build anything they want off of it.
No, no. They own its future. If you do something with it, then you don't, then you're not using Android. You're using a fork of
Android. Which is perfectly fine, I think.
But that's not Android. Google owns its future. They are guiding the ship. They are telling it where to go. Microsoft does have the ability to take Chromium and do this very same thing and take it and fork it and start their own. I don't see Microsoft being willing to invest that much money, personnel, equity, whatever, into actually owning it, completely owning it. I think they're going to try to get away with as little work as possible. I do think Microsoft's going to have to do its due diligence to do what's right by the shareholders because, you know, their business. But I don't like the fact that it's going to be one code base that's going to be like the primary target around the world. You know what I mean? I like not being part of the biggest target available out in the world. And with Chromium being the base, that's going to have certain, I don't want to say problems, but, you know, vulnerabilities across code bases.
Yes, okay, so that once you get to homogeneity of systems, that's a hacker's dream. I totally agree with that. But to say that anything Microsoft produces based on Chromium is going to be Chrome, I think is just wrongheaded.
Well, Microsoft has shown willingness to give up absolute control in the past. They did release this year their own literal Linux kernel, Linux operating system, downloadable, reinstallable OS that does not contain their kernel.
Yep.
That doesn't mean they don't control it, but that doesn't mean that they do. You know what I mean? It's only time will tell how much they really want to put into it, but I just don't like it being one attack base. It is the real key of it. Now, here's the thing. For end users, this is going to be a fantastic thing. For like web developers, this is, again, going to be a fantastic thing because now there's one less thing to code towards and there's one less thing to learn as an end user.
I just want to read the chat room there. Ivor says, I have to agree with Mark here. I'm not going to read the rest of the statement, but that's the most important.
Yeah, I agree.
Good man.
Figured that's all. Ivor in the chat also wants Dore to talk about the Privacy International article that made Ivor's air turn blue when he was reading it.
Well, there is nothing new here. This is literally Cambridge Analytica 2.0. All it is, it's another story. The only direction of looking at this story, because perception is reality, the angle of looking at this story is Facebook allowed people to have a easy library that they could use as Android developers to help them do authentication to through Facebook. What they didn't tell any developers were that when you put this library in your application, all of your data belong to us. All your base belong to us. So all of the information available to the application would also be then available by default back through a tunnel to Facebook. So, and here's the haha, not funny, haha part. Not shocking. 99% of the applications mentioned in the list, because this one did have a hard list of applications, were not on this show, were not suggested on this show. Yet I can tell you over half of the applications I heard mentioned on other shows as suggestions. So you can listen to journalists, you can listen to people with thumb rings, you can listen to people that literally get paid to sway your opinion. Or you can listen to real normal people working 9 to 5s with spoiled little brat kids telling you what they think is a good application.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, sit through the ads. You can sit through every 10 minutes of breaks, or you can become another Patreon member like Matthew Fuzzle. And we've got at least one or two, I think, new ones since the last time that we re-recorded. So thank you to all the Patreon people. You guys are voting with your dollar, which I'm going to like be a mark here and say, vote with your dollar. They have voted with their dollar, and thank you. Pay for what you want.
That's really cool. Thanks, guys, for supporting. I've also Spotify.
Basically 10,000 plus applications or whatever they suspect are pumping all this data back into Facebook with no regulation. And that's the scariest word I'm going to use this show. without any regulation and any oversight. Not that I think it needs regulation or oversight. I'm just pointing out the fact that there is no regulation or oversight in what data Facebook has coming into
it. Was this the same report that also brought up the point that you didn't even have to have a Facebook account? And there,
yes.
See the, oh.
Well, no.
People are paying money for Spotify, by the way, and that's on the list.
This goes back to like 2008. Oh, it doesn't matter if you have the paid version of the apps, because the library was still present, because the lazy application developers never take libraries out. You know what I mean? But this goes back to, I think, want to say like 2008. Even if you don't have a Facebook account, it doesn't matter. Facebook still has a profile based off of you. Now, it might actually be two or three different accounts that they're, you know, they see you from this app, they see you from that app, and
somebody tags me in a photo.
Right. So they already have profiles on everybody on the planet. There's no getting around that. This is just an easier way for them to more accurately identify that profile to an individual. So, yay, 2019.
Well, you know, knowing all this, though, I guess I owe the world an apology, because that's why they act like that on Facebook, because you know why would they hold back any emotion or thought or anything that glances through the top of their head? Facebook knows it already. They'll just go ahead and throw it out there in front of it. So that, you know, they might actually get the thought out before Facebook finds out they were thinking that. Maybe that's why they act like that.
And I mean, I'll just quote Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson from about 2005. It doesn't matter, because people ain't going to uninstall nothing. People ain't going to delete their accounts from nothing. People ain't going to bat an eye. They're going to look at a stupid emoji. They're going to look at a posting that's in political nature. They're going to see a puppy. They're going to see a sexist thing, and they're going to like it and thumbs up it, and they're going to move on and keep watching through the stream. I heard a great interview with a Iranian journalist who's been in jail for 8 years. He said, from the time I went into jail to the time I got out, the internet's completely different. The internet is now television. There is no internet left. Whenever anybody goes to one of these dedicated pages, one of these dedicated channels, one of these dedicated spots, the goal is to have infinite content that never ends, that you can just keep scrolling forever. That's how I define television, a wasteland of useless junk that never stops. He said, so that's what it is now. It's not the internet, it's television.
Neat analogy.
I didn't like the fact that he said that, because it seemed like he had some intelligence that I did not have.
I predicted several years ago when I was still working in education, I was talking with a student of mine, and he was conjecturing what the future was going to be like. And this was 99 when I was saying this. And I said, I think that in 25 to 30 years, there won't be a computer, and there won't be a telephone, and there won't be a television. It'll all be one single data portal. And it may be on your wall, or maybe in your hand, or maybe on your desk, but it'll all be the same thing. And I want to just say, I was right. That's absolutely what's happened. I should have tried to find a way to make money off of that.
And it's in your pocket? Well, are you saying it's in your pocket then?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, right now, it doesn't matter where. You know, I predicted a single data port that like maybe is on the wall, but really, in reality, it's multiple data ports everywhere. You know, on your wrist. You know, it's everything.
Yeah. It's like the movie Up.
Wally.
No,
yeah.
Wally. Sorry.
Oh, Wally. Great movie.
Because it was very poignant to show whether it was the screen right in front of the person's face or the screens up on the wall, they were all showing the same thing.
What's trending now?
I want that chair.
So what I want to talk about, so, if we can move on from that, is the horrendous Apple meltdown that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear what you guys have to say. I have something to say about it. But
my tribal dances have worked. I mean, no. Here's the gimmick, Mark. I... 10 whatever years ago, okay, back when the first iPhone was first getting launched, back when we had progressive web apps and no app store, I stated on Linux for the Rest of Us, this is it. This is the beginning. Apple is failing. In 10 years, they're going to be virtually nothing and gone and dead. If it wasn't for the phone, I would have hit a home run. The phone made them so much stinking money. They overcharged so much for their phone for so long that they have such a runway now. Mark, here's the thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They can have a failing product for the next 8 years on the market. They have enough runway in their bank account. They are fine. So it doesn't matter what happens to their phone. Their phones suck. People aren't buying it. Those sales in China have dropped by over 30% in one quarter. In one quarter. And China has many, many, many people not buying many, many, many iPhones, which is affecting its market value. and it's going downhill. So now, hopefully, we're going to return to the land of sane phone prices, which will then help encourage CubeSats going to Mars, will help, you know, these little satellites going to Europa, and maybe even Uranus.
I don't want a satellite in Uranus.
So, sorry, I couldn't help that.
China's got all the cool phones, man. Why would they even want to think about buying an iPhone?
Because it's prestige. Because it's just like elections, Eric. It's all bullcrap. Facts mean nothing. It's all like emotion. And if me, as an individual in China, the land of a billion people, can pull out my phone and other people look at it like, oh, jealous, like, oh, man, they, oh, look, then that's what I want to do. And that's what they do. Yeah. It's all about jealousy.
Well, when my selfie cam pops up from the top with a motor, that, you know, if I was an envious person, and, you know, I probably am, if I saw somebody with that selfie cam and I was on the train with, you know, a couple thousand other people, they'd get my vote for the cool phone of the train car. I would never use a selfie cam or a motorized one, but that one's pretty cool.
I'm almost to the point to where when I'm just walking in public and people are walking with their phone in their hand by their down below their chest and have it on speakerphone and they're talking to the person on the side, I literally just want to smack
the phone. Like toast, they're eating a piece of toast.
No, they're not even holding it up that close, because that would almost be respectable. They're holding it down closer to their navel and they're just talking and yapping. I just want to walk by and just smack the hand and just have their phone drop on the ground. Thus, they'd have to go buy an Android phone.
Now, would you be mad at me when I go out for my walks? I'll be listening to podcasts and I'll have it on speaker and just blaring through right through my jacket pocket, no headphones.
If nobody's around, who cares?
Well, occasionally there'll be somebody that comes down the trail.
If it's music, I would literally just
stop and
say,
not music,
whatever. If it's any audio, I'll just say, what's wrong with you?
Okay, so I am breaking
etiquette.
And
then no matter what you would say, I would follow it up with Google non-ionizing radiation. Non-ionizing radiation. Because there's no reason to not have either a Bluetooth earbud or a wired headset in. There's really good cheap ones for like $10.
The thing is, I have the cheap ones, and sometimes they don't make the connection if it's in my pants pocket to my head. That's too far of a distance.
Well,
that's how cheap they are.
I'm just going to tell you now, in my experience, half of that issue is not the headphone, it's the phone. Just saying.
It's because you're an ugly bag of mostly water.
Well, maybe I'll revisit it.
Star Trek reference there.
Say,
you're an ugly bag of mostly water. Star Trek reference there. That's water.
Yes, we are water bags.
I can tell you the last three phones I've had, I literally have the same headphones.
I don't have any like that look like that.
Well, no. I've been able to either go 10 feet away or less, and then it starts to break up. Same headphone, same exact headphone. Next phone, I'm able to go 20 plus feet away. Mm. Now the third phone, I'm able to go two floors up and the damn thing still works. Okay. It's the exact same headphone.
Why would you ever
headphone.
Get that far away from
nothing
your phone?
Has changed.
I don't understand.
Because it's on the charger and because I listen to 30 plus hours of podcast a day.
All right. I will revisit this because I've got a new phone and I have not used the headphones with it.
And what I mean to say is the phone can be just as guilty as the earpiece itself. Have you ever had reasonable reception strength on your earbuds? Ever?
Yeah, but I think I make it happen by moving it to a higher pocket, like moving it up to a breast pocket instead of a pants pocket or something when I'm on the riding lawnmower or whatever.
Gotcha. And I will say I've been walking like 5 miles or so at work. There is one spot of the parking lot. Doesn't matter where I have the phone at, I will lose connection and it will like blink out for like 3 seconds. It's always at the same spot. So I got to.
Can you see the blimp from that spot?
The blimp has got released and flew away and floated like 100 miles away like a year ago, and they never put it back up.
Oh,
so because it was literally next to my house, and they said it was for whatever it was a lie. It was a cell phone repeater tester. What's it called? Swordfish, sailfish.
The Loon Project.
Manta ray.
Blue.
Stingray.
Blue beam.
Stingray. No, stingray, where they have fake cellular towers.
Yeah.
Stingray. It was a stingray tester.
So I want to go back to Apple just a little bit because I didn't get to
get
my 2 cents in there. I have enjoyed watching pundits on both sides talk about how, you know, Apple will be back. This is not the end. And how, you know, the greed is finally over. The bloom is off the rose. Tim Cook is no Steve Jobs. I just want to remind everybody that the bad news that Apple announced last week, the bad news is that they only made $89 billion this quarter. Okay, just think about that. That's the terrible news. The news that is going to sound the death knell for Apple is that they only made $89 billion.
It was a reduction in expectation of sales. Right. It wasn't even bad sales. It was just a reduction in the expectation of sales.
Yeah, they had predicted the 95 to 100, and they came in at 89. So I don't think anybody should be singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead just yet.
Well, with stocks and the market, the facts are, again, completely irrelevant. Just like elections, it's all emotions, and it's all how do they feel. The market doesn't want to be lied to. They want as accurate as possible, almost like Bob Barker, without going under expectation of what is the next quarter going to be. So when it doesn't meet expectations, they get butt hurt and they start to sell. And that's all it is. But they know themselves they're going to sell just a little bit, but they're not going anywhere. With the real goal is to just get the market price down, so then they can have a reason to invest even more. It's all about making money. You know what I mean? And that's all it is. It's a market expectation. They would need to drop 80% of their sales for like a solid 6 months to even be in some kind of crisis situation.
Yeah. Do not take any financial advice from me at all. But
yeah, me either.
Buy Apple.
If anybody did,
buy gold.
Because now is the best time to buy Apple that there has been in a long time. Don't take my advice.
But not Bitcoin.
No?
Not right now.
Not a good time? It seems kind of low.
I'm sure it is, but the question is it going to come back up? Now, Ethereum and another one did see a little bit of a bounce in the last week, but I would just hold steady. Stick with where you're at. You're in that diversified fund.
Yeah, which I've lost a lot of money in. But
I don't care.
The stock market went way down. But it went up today when the stock market went down again.
Yes, because hemp just got legal in something like 20 states to be able to be grown and sold again, because it was before. Stay in that.
Yeah, it's a long-term investment. I don't want to know what I've lost right now, really.
And Canada just released a thing that said it's going to take almost 2 years for everything to stabilize and for them to have a true understanding of the market forecast.
And we've got a new governor here in Illinois. He says that's one of his first things he's doing is legalizing it here, I guess. So they did.
There's a lot of money to be made.
They already talked about hemp for our third crop. So that part's already a done deal, because all we've done is soybeans and corn for 100 years.
Well, in the U.S., well, soybean market in the last couple of months, I'm good. But I mean, in the last, I want to say like 40 years, I mean, gambling has basically taken over the United States. It's now, it was legal in, I want to say, 3 states before. Now it's legal in like 38 or something.
So are we just going to get more destructive things from now on? We're just going to open things up for more self-destructiveness.
It's more personal freedom. That's all it is. It's less government intervention.
I have to agree with the more personal. And here's the way I'll put it, Eric. We still have a booming population irregardless, whatever word you want to look at. But no matter what, we still have population booming. I personally believe it's good to allow people to have legal avenues of pressure releasing, whether it be showgirls, whether it be gambling, whether it be UFC fighting, whether it be whatever. Allow people legal ways, just like the music downloads for, you know, 20 years. Give us legal avenues to get our music. We will happily pay you pennies a month instead of pirating everything.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. I believe if you give Americans legal avenues to what they consider to be their personal stress relief, whether it be meditation or whether it be inebriation, allow people to have those ways and tax them, regulate them, make some money off of them, and then give it all to the Department of Defense. I mean, no, that's not what I meant to say.
The truth hurts, man.
I'm sorry. It's just like History of the World Part 1. Listener, if you haven't seen that, Mel Brooks, History of the Part 1. Mel Brooks plays Comicus, and he gets to play the Caesar's Palace, which of course is, you know, Caesar's there, and he accidentally insults everything, and yeah, he gets basically sentenced to death. It's a good movie. It's funny. Yeah.
Moses comes down from the mountain with three tablets and says, the 15, drops one, breaks 15. 10 commandments.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I saw a horrible article headline that I could not click. It said, now the younger generation, which I will not call millennials anymore, the younger generation says it's not okay to laugh at Seinfeld because they're racist.
Of course
they're sexist,
they were. That's the whole point.
I never laughed at Seinfeld before. I never got into that show. But
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Festivus?
Serenity Now? Nothing?
No. I laughed at some Mel Brooks, though, that's for sure.
Mel Brooks. I mean,
Woody Allen, too. Young Frankenstein. What about Woody Allen? You like that?
I don't know, man. He dated like a 13.
Well, I'm not saying personally. There's no Hollywood people that aren't weird, really.
I don't remember much Woody Allen movies except for the horrible animated ant movie.
The one I liked was Sleeper, where the guy gets put... It's almost like Idiocracy in a way. The guy gets put to sleep and it wakes up like, I don't know if it was 100 years or 50 years in the future. You know, they, you know, peel back the tin foil and they tell him, you know, here, have some cigarettes, because they find out that those are the, you know, healthiest things for your body. And, you know, why were you poisoning yourself with wheat germ back in the 70s? Whatever.
Right.
I don't know. That was a good one.
So I like the Mel Brooks and the 2,000-year-old man, but that's just...
So since you stumbled into that, Eric... the future,
yes.
and what are things like. This is the thing that we are contractually obligated to do as podcasters in January, is make our predictions for the year 2019. And if we don't do that, we actually lose our license to podcast. So
last year we didn't do that.
We made them in December.
Saw
what happened last year. We don't want a repeat of 2018, do we?
And I tried to listen to that episode, but man, it was painful.
You're personally responsible for Trump. No.
I completely forgot we did a show last year. Now I'm going to have to listen to it after this show.
I was writing down notes, and I was pretty much spot on. Everything was exactly the way I thought it was going
to
be.
I'm sure. I will have the first link in the notes, hopefully, to that episode. So if the listener gets to this point and wants to listen to it, it will be there.
And if you want to do it sooner, I think it's December 24th episode last year.
Okay.
Yeah, Ivor in the chat room. Blazing Saddles. I just rewatched Blazing Saddles recently. Amazingly, it's on Netflix. So, you know, they're okay with that, apparently.
Yeah.
If there's any movie from Mel Brooks that the industry itself will soon censor,
right.
It's
and that
Blazing
movie was just
Saddles.
Equal opportunity right. offense. They just offended everybody all yes. across the board.
And that's what Mel Brooks did. He didn't care. Just like there's certain All in the Families that they cannot rebroadcast right now on American television because they're too insensitive.
So my first prediction for 2019 is that by December 31st, 2019, it will be illegal to use gender-based pronouns of any kind. Everyone must be it.
Then I am in trouble.
That was one of Illinois' new 250 laws they just passed starting January 1st in Congress in Illinois and in the Senate.
What?
In the Illinois Senate and House, it's now chairperson and councilperson. There's no... chairman of the committee. There's no
guess beard comb.
We got here's another good one. Yeah, you'd say less laws, but they got a new one called, have you ever heard of the Dutch Reach? And I'm not talking about what I'm not talking
Eric, this is the family friendly show.
I'm not talking to you about what Dirty Thumbs did at the Drury Inn that night. Have you ever heard of this
it's
thing?
It's a tax thing.
I don't think so.
A tax thing?
I don't know.
It's a new rule on how you're supposed to exit your car. They're going to now teach in the rules of the road books for the state of Illinois.
Okay.
You have to open the door with your right hand if you're
even
a driver.
If you're on...
For what reason?
Because it forces you to look...
It's to force you to look big back?
Yeah.
Wow. They're trying to legislate
Wait.
Behavior.
See, I'm pretty sure the philosophy you say about giving people freedom and less laws, great idea, but, you know, but...
Well,
no.
Here's what I'll say. That law is merely trying to assign liability, is all it's trying to do. So if you do open the door with the wrong hand and a car comes by and hits your door, they can then say it's your fault explicitly because you did not open the door with your right hand. That's my guess. It's just a mere reassignment of clear.
I'm just going to say, if you're a, shall we say, plus-sized individual such as myself, that's a very difficult maneuver to pull off.
Good point. Good point. That's discrimination.
It's
sizist. Sizist. Yes. Good point. Yeah.
Illinois.
Before we go to the predictions, I got one more thing I wanted to share with you on the Netflix.
Please don't say Bird Box.
On Netflix? If you do, I'm kicking you out of this damn show.
Have you guys seen Bird Box? No, I'm not going to say it. That wasn't it. But now that you mentioned
have
it,
have you
Mark,
seen my pale Irish?
Now that you mentioned it, Mark, have you seen it? Okay. Dora, I can already tell that he's...
I've been watching Penn and Teller BS season one over the last week, and it's a fantastic show.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So of course, I pirated it.
There's a good comedian on here other than Penn and Teller. His name is John Mulaney. You ever heard of this guy? I've never heard of him before. And he's fairly clean as far as family-friendly comedians go. He's got a 2018 special on Netflix. Give it a watch.
Is this the guy who just got banned from Saudi Arabia?
I don't know.
No, that's a different guy.
Oh, damn it. I tried. Good.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to throw that in there since it was a recommendation to me, and I thank the person very much for recommending it to me.
I've seen more than a couple good stand-up specials on Netflix. I'm not going to lie.
This guy has an interesting way of talking about the president with not actually saying his name ever. Well, and
I mean,
he's got a great you would like this guy because he's got analogies.
I know, but isn't it kind of like drinking turpentine and then like throwing up? I mean, it just comes natural. I mean, there's nothing difficult there.
He's nonpartisan in any way. I couldn't tell you if he's a Republican or a Democrat by after watching his comedy about it.
Well, that's the dirty secret. Most of the Republicans in the Senate and House aren't real fans of the president. They're just terrified of him.
Sure. Okay. He makes an analogy of the president. I'm not gonna spoil it. Just watch it, I guess. And if you don't watch it, I'll spoil it a little bit.
Are you guys familiar?
If you don't want to watch it, I'll spoil it right now. His analogy of the president is like a horse in a hospital running in the hallways of a hospital. It might not be that bad, but it could get, I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was funny.
Have you ever, are you familiar with the Babylon Bee? It's a website. It's basically the Christian version of The Onion. So lots of church humor, that sort of thing. But one of their little headlines that made me laugh was that the White House aides swapped out the nuclear football with a disguised easy button from Office Max and Staples, whatever it was. And it says it's done wonders for foreign diplomacy. The president thinks he's already nuked three countries. Clearly didn't register with you in the way that I delivered it. But I could just picture Trump in the White House hitting the easy button going, take that, Syria. Take that, Russia. You know, and thinking he's doing something.
Yeah, politics is bad this year. I don't think we predicted that.
No. Look, no matter where you're at in the world, you have something to put up with. If you're in the Philippines, you got Durante, whatever his name is, who is literally like bat guano cuckoo. You have in Colombia, a guy just got elected, again, quite questionable. You have in France, you have literally people like lighting themselves on fire because of their political place. You have in South Korea, you literally had two taxi people light themselves on fire in protest from what their government and their leaders are doing. You have in North Korea, I don't need to say anything else. You have in Turkey, where you have foreign diplomats being murdered inside the borders of your country in a premeditated fashion. You have in Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia. So really, it's not as bad as people think. Honestly, it's a little fuzzy everywhere, so we kind of just blend in. Then you have, literally, Theresa May in Germany, which I've heard one of the best sayings I've ever heard in my life. And that is an old German saying that I can't pronounce because I'm not German, but it is essentially, everything has an end.
Is Theresa May in Germany? Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel. Everything has an end, except a sausage. It has two. So she's going out after almost 18 years. Yeah. You have Theresa May, who just barely passed a vote of confidence in the UK because of, Brexit thing with the hard border, the soft border. They don't even know what the hell they're doing over there. So really, Eric, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't let it bother me one bit. People freak out though. That's what I liked about this comedian. He didn't make it.
It's great for comedy. In the next 3 years, we're going to see a renaissance of comedy that we have never, you know, we haven't seen this kind of company since like Lenny Bruce.
I think I gave away my Trump mask though. We had a Trump and Hillary. We had a Trump mask and a Hillary mask for Halloween a couple of years ago. Well, it's probably 2016. I'm guessing.
To me, the real bad news was Elizabeth Warren basically announced her presidency like on January 1st or the 31st with a really bad video of her like, let me crack a beer. Like a 70-year-old woman not even knowing how to crack a beer.
Oh, really?
It was really bad.
I'll check that.
Oh. I'm really tired. I'm an ageist. Mm-hmm. I'm just tired of old people. I'm kind of jealous of Canada and France just because their leaders are.
We could fire up the furnace's door. We could fix that.
Oh, I know. I know. Soylent Green.
You know they sell something at Walmart now called Soylent.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. It's been out for like a year.
It's a nutritional supplement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. It's the old, aka man chow. Where like when I was younger, I had a daydream of like I just had a bag of food. It was very nondescript. It really didn't have any flavor, but I would eat it, and it would give all my nutrients I would need all day, and I didn't have to worry about it.
Like
that's what this is supposed to be.
Like kind of like the bucket of stuff in Idiocracy, where it's just like a puddingish fatty gloop
that's called the keto diet.
Gets her done. Yeah. Except for you don't get any nice
sugar around eating sugar coconut oil all day, washing it down with salted water.
Oh, hey,
predictions.
Oh, okay, predictions.
Not distractions, not tangents.
You said this show didn't have to be about it.
Hey, there was this one thing on YouTube I wanted to tell you guys about. No, go ahead. Actually, there is. Champaign Ill. It's a movie about Champaign, Illinois, man. It's a 10-part miniseries that's probably not worth watching. I didn't mind it, but it's different. Anyway, not as family friendly as the first suggestion.
So I do actually have a YouTube channel that I would like to recommend.
Cool.
You can search it. It's The Buildist, like the Nerdist, but builder. It's a guy I work with. His name is Bob. And Bob, and you guys know me pretty well. And so you will know what it means when I say this statement. Bob is unquestionably the smartest person I've ever known. And he has a YouTube channel. It's rough. He's only got like 5 videos up, but stick with it. It's going to be awesome because if 1/10 of Bob's mad scientist personality comes out in this channel, it's going to be amazing. And in a few years, you're going to say, you know, I was in on the ground floor of The Buildist. Like one of his first videos is, he needs to make a metric thread to go in something. And so he just designs a gear to change his existing, what's the spinny thing? I'm blanking. Words are hard. Existing lathe. He designs a gear to convert it to a metric thing. What he doesn't talk about, and I hope he'll get into it, is he built that lathe out of scraps. He can do anything with anything. And I'm really looking forward to where this is going to go in the future. The Buildist. I mean, everything from machining stuff to he spends 20 minutes hemming a pair of pants. He's just the weirdest guy, but in the best way.
I'll check it out.
Handmade vintage style screwdriver.
Yeah, and it's I'm telling you, it's super rough. You know, if you're used to watching highly polished YouTube guys, that is not this guy. But he's going to grow. He's going to get better.
First tip: shorter intros.
Yeah, we've been coaching him a bit around the office. But Bob's a brilliant guy, and I look forward to what he's going to do. So anyway.
Are you going to help him with his video editing and bring it up to the
shorter?
If he asks me to, I will.
Well, I will subscribe and I'll give him feedback. First piece of feedback, shorter intros. Because honestly, every successful channel I've seen, if you go back through the history, they had shorter intros. Only after they get real popular are they able to really like brand their videos in the beginning.
All right. So Dor, make a prediction. What's going to happen in the next 300 days?
Easy. Phones with 12 gigs of RAM and batteries will still suck. We have made zero. Here's the thing, people. We have made near zero progress in battery technology in about 100 years. All we've gotten is better at understanding the components that go in it, the chemicals that go in it, ratioing the chemicals that go in it, and putting smarter boards on top of the batteries. But as far as battery technology has actually went, we have made near zero progress, which means next year we're going to either have to do one of two things. Like back in the day, you either had to make tighter code or you had to make more powerful computers. We obviously opted for more powerful computers. We're going to now need to extremely streamline all of our hardware, or we're going to have to improve battery life. We ain't improving battery life. So we're going to have to more heavily streamline hardware, which means we're going to need smaller nanometer processors, which mean less heat, which means less give off of extra energy, which means better efficiency with battery technology. I am sick and tired of not having a normal phone easily last a day. To me, every phone that you go into a store and buy should be able to last a day. And when they don't, everyone loses. So we're going to have bad batteries. We're going to have 12 gigs of RAM in phones. We're going to have people screaming about picture quality, picture quality, picture quality, picture quality, picture quality, picture quality, picture quality. And I don't care about picture quality. I don't care if it's a camera on my phone. Literally. I don't. I want a pocket computer. I want my phone to be twice as thick as it is now. And I want a battery that can easily last 2 or 3 days. And does it? I'm not going to get it. I've never seen a case for an Android that does that.
Exists.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I've never seen one.
It's probably not for your specific European or Chinese import device.
Oh, it's Chinese.
So just a quick aside there. Last week, Christmas week, I was on call for work. It was my turn. We recently upgraded our on-call phone from the finest flip phone that 1997 had to offer to an iPhone 7. And it was literally my first experience with an iPhone. I had never used it. I had to ask somebody, like, how do you unlock this? You know, I'm supposedly a phone expert, and I had to ask for help. But what I found is that if you don't use a phone, battery lasts for freaking ever. Battery lasted two weeks, almost 2 full weeks, because I didn't use it. So the best way to get battery life
is the screen. Yeah, I have an on-call phone. It's a Samsung Galaxy S7 Active, I believe. The whole week, I never have to plug the phone up. It literally goes from like 90% maybe to 70%. Right. Because, I'm not touching the damn thing.
So
don't call me.
If you want better battery life, just don't use your phone. Problem solved. I am a problem solver.
I know, but I listen to 30 plus hours of podcast a day.
They make iPod Nanos for that without a screen.
God. No, next.
Okay, my turn.
5G technology will be nowhere. Everyone will still be complaining, yet people will still be scrambling to be on it and saying that they're on it.
And AT&T will have it on their screen, but it won't actually be built into the phone.
Yeah, and it will cost more money, and the hardware will cost a lot more money. And
up to 5G, Dor. It's important that you understand. Up to 5G.
Yeah, because I got 4G now. If I can just get 4.75, that's all I really need. I don't need 5. Can I make a prediction? Mm-hmm. Glass is going to be going away as far as screens come. I'm going to say your phone will be one thing, but big screen TVs are all going to start to be replaced by really super bright LED Wi-Fi projectors that Chromecast interface with your phone, or just Wi-Fi on their own with some sort of UI, maybe a motion UI, I'm not sure. But you're not going to have a 70-inch piece of glass hanging off the edge of your cabinet.
In a year? We'll get there in 362 days?
Yeah, maybe not the year. I'm thinking it's going to, the beginning of it is coming, though. You'll start to see the end of the glass ones.
I think there are fundamental problems with projection as a technology, and I don't think we'll ever. I disagree with you fundamentally on that.
I've never owned a projector, though.
Because in a projected scenario, you must have minimum twice the light output, you know, because it's a reflected thing. Yes. And so, you know, a TV with some LEDs in it can, I'm just going to make up some numbers, and it can, say, put out 40 watts of light and have a really bright screen, where a projector is going to need 100 watts to look a little dimmer.
Right. To look acceptable. Not good,
and that's
just acceptable.
Only if you can get the room perfectly dark.
Well, Show Me just had a flash sale, first ever, never announced. It was literally announced and then sold. They literally sold something like 60 million of them in less than 2 days. And it's a projector TV with the sales pitch of it can be less than 2 inches away from the wall. And it points basically up and at an angle, and at a trapezoid will then become completely flat and perfectly square kind of thing. I honestly don't know the lumen count or whatever their light projection was, but I know people who need to save every cubic centimeter of space will push the kind of need for the rest of the world to be able to buy these kinds of things at acceptable numbers. I don't know about TVs going away. I can definitely see cable boxes, satellite boxes, system boxes basically going away, and them having a master like DVR downstairs, and then having like minimal hardware on the TVs of like Chromecast.
I predict in 2018 or 2019 that Roku takes over the world. Not Roku the brand, but Roku the concept. The idea of a small box that plugs into the internet and gives you all your entertainment will be the norm in a year. The cable box, the VCR, the TiVo, those things are all going to be dying 300 days from today.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I am very good at that. I will say another thing besides the 12 gigs in our pocket kind of thing. I do see us as a species losing even more and all absolute measures of privacy and personal data. We're going to forfeit them to higher powers called Google, Facebook, U.S. government, or whatever, all of them, without hesitation, without question. And we're going to have another stupid show about some stupid reality person doing something stupid, and somebody's going to say it's funny, and then they're going to watch that person either get married or put themselves in risk of life and limb, at least on camera, but not in reality.
I'm going to... I don't know if I can do these one-year ones, man. I don't think that
I got more.
Exoskeletons. I think exoskeletons are really good.
Super soldiers?
It may start kind of basic, but...
I agree with you. In manufacturing, in heavy industry, I think we will start to see those make serious inroads this year. I agree with you.
I think
I want super soldiers.
I'm even to avoid surgeries and the chance of infection. If you can get an exoskeleton for your knee that does just as good as a knee replacement, and there's no chance of infection, and it costs less, and you don't have to go on narcotics for a while the pain goes away. I don't know.
I'll say more predictions is going to be basically like science based. We're going to have a mild revolution in treatment of certain diseases, and the treatment is basically going to be coerced and rearranged viruses is the gimmick. We like toyed with it right before the discovery of penicillin, and we did see actually moderate success. Just like when people think bacteria, people think dirty. Well, as it turns out, 94% of the bacteria that exist, we cannot directly interact with for good or bad. So they're not good or bad. They're just bacteria. Same kind of thing with viruses. We have microviruses and macroviruses, and we're going to start to have some extreme treatments that are going to be able to cure certain things. But like right now we have in America, a outbreak of this. It could be one of three things experts say, but it's basically polio-like symptoms coming on, and it's hitting younger people especially hard, especially kids in college.
We had a few in Illinois here. They got that.
Yeah, we had a couple in University of Maryland. And what two out of the three things they say basically come from people who are unvaccinated. So welcome to 2019, America.
I had a point. Never mind. Go ahead.
My second prediction is that 2019 will be the year of the smartwatch, only it won't be called a smartwatch. It'll be called a Fitbit or a Garmin. And that industry is going to be most people's watch. This time next year will be a digital fitness tracker / smartwatch.
Ivor has a prediction from the chat room, and he's been talking as much as we have. So, honestly, he brings me more apps than I bring you guys. So he says his prediction for 2019 is Microsoft gets back into the mobile phone business.
Yep.
That's not all bad.
Oh, I mean, I'll put money on it. If they're going to come out with an Android-based phone, there's no doubt about it. They also hinted that they're going to come out with that Courier. Do you remember that?
The Courier. Was it a tablet?
It was the folding computer. Remember, here's the gimmick. Back in like Windows 98, Bill Gates went on stage with a tablet computer, said, "This is the future." It failed. It failed horribly. And then the iPad came out and it was successful. Microsoft had a product called the Courier. It was basically a folding computer On one side was a touch screen with the pen. On the other side was e-ink. And it was supposed to come out. Well, now they're teasing about it again. There's little doubt Microsoft is going to come out with an Android phone only. Just look at what they've done. They bought GitHub. They literally bought GitHub. They've been releasing a large amount of their Android patents back into the wild. They've literally bought something like 20 or 25 different shops where all they did was Android development in the last like 2 years. If they don't come out with an Android phone, I would be incredibly shocked. But my prediction is we are going to actually finally see the public display of Fuchsia. It might not be buyable, but we will see a tech demo of it by the end of 2019. Less than a week ago, on GitHub, the actual official Fuchsia repo, they basically removed all the code. It's all gone now. Google got rid of it all. But now we've seen hints in the latest Canary build of Chrome OS that the Fuchsia bit is basically going to be flipped for all Android ART-based systems will be able to accept Fuchsia as a operating system. So I believe before the end of 2019, we're going to see a Fuchsia-based OS. I'm also going to go out on a further limb and say it will not be a phone. It will not be a phone. I do not think it will be a watch. I'm going to say it's going to be something closer to what a Google Home is. I believe the Google Home is going to be one of the quickest birth-to-death Google devices we've ever seen.
The end of 2019,
yeah, the Home Hub will be dead and gone.
Hey, Mark, back to your prediction. And somebody has asked you on the show in an email how you liked your TicWatch Pro. And I want TicWatch is one of those watches that could take it there where they use the e-ink or some kind of a really low powered display most of the time, and you can get a week's worth of battery. I think that would help a lot. My Wear OS watch, I'll put it on the charger at night. It didn't last all day just fine. I'll put it on the charger at night and it just reboots all night. By the time I get up in the morning, it actually stopped boot looping and it's ready to go, but it's just weird.
It's weird.
As soon as I lay it on the charger, it just starts, I don't know, ZTE phoning home or something. It is one of the, I should keep it like in bubble wrap or something because it's a ZTE product and those are pretty banned in the United States right now.
I don't think it'll be Wear OS. I don't think it'll be the Apple Watch. I think it'll be much dumber devices. The curse of the smartwatch, it was more smart than watch. And most people just want to watch. And so the Garmins and the Fitbits of the world, they're paying attention to that. And they're seeing things that are a watch 90% of the time, and you can share a photo with it the other 10% of the time. And I think that's going to be the sweet spot that the soccer moms are going to glom onto. And I think it'll be the hot thing Christmas next year.
Yeah, there's right now an Amazon's basic, I can't remember what it's called, like Pi Bit or something like that it's called. It's literally $30. And it's 30 days worth of battery life, and it is nothing more than a stupid watch. I agree with Mark.
Does it have a screen, though?
Yes, okay. A full-size screen. It is basically lowest common denominator.
The $25 Show Me Mi Band is as much as most people want. You know, it's a watch. It'll also show you text messages, and it'll count your steps. And I think it's going to be some dumb device like that. I don't think I've been using Garmin and Fitbit just because they're the big players right now, but I really think it'll probably be an Amazon or some other party, third party that's not in the game right now. Maybe Show Me will be the one that will come out and do it. But that's been my prediction. That Wear OS is going to be for the nerds. I'll have one. You'll have one, Eric. But the 3%ers will have that.
Yeah. Another prediction will be basically what we're going to see unfold only if we are very aware of is what I'll say. That's my caveat. We have to be very aware of it. It's basically China versus South Korea, because that's what's actually been going on around the world for the last like 8 months. South Korea, Samsung, China, ZTE, and Huawei. Right now, the big 5G fighters is like Huawei's trying to get into all these countries, trying to get into all these ecosystems, trying to get into all these markets. It's basically China trying to represent itself and trying to become a market leader. We have Samsung unbelievably dominating the world market in phone sales. It isn't Apple. It isn't HTE. It isn't anybody else. It's Samsung is by far selling the most low and high end devices combined, we're going to see a continuation of the war of economies between South Korea and China. What I hope is that we, as an outsider country, all we see is a benefit in reduction of cost because they're fighting with each other. But I hope that here's one of my logics. The likelihood of any single company inserting rice size chips into boards or infrastructure for later spying is basically non-existent. But here's the caveat. I don't know if you guys remember, less than a year or so ago, maybe a year and a half ago or so, a story came out how the United States government was intercepting shipments of APC, continuous UPC power bricks. And they were opening up the packaging, opening up the device, taking out a piece, putting in a different piece. And they were selectively replacing hardware inside of those devices to allow them to have a foot in a network. That kind of thing is possible. I don't think it's ever a fault of the actual manufacturing company when it comes to spying. It is a matter of the shipping and handling of that device on its way to its endpoint. That's where you have endless opportunity from whether it be other industries or governments to be able to insert themselves into that. So I don't think anybody really has to worry about a company inserting things into their thing to do global spying on everybody, because I don't think it will happen because they fear the kickback a little bit too much. You know, kind of like we don't really have to worry about immigrants and the southern border of the United States. What we should do as a country is ask, does Costa Rica, does Belize, do the other countries actually need assistance in just sustaining and growing as a country? Not, we need to worry about people coming into our country.
I maybe we could have a foreign exchange student kind of thing for not students. I mean, give me a week or two there, and I'll give them minus 10 here. You know, and then, I mean, just to see what it's like up at north, because it's not all Texas. There's some brutal parts of this town, of this country, man.
Here's something else I will predict, and it is Android and Chrome OS converging. You know, more devices having both on it at the same time, even though the individual experience will both suffer because of it. I think Chrome OS and Chrome laptops especially will just keep selling fantastic, great numbers, and Chrome OS tablets will continue to unbelievably stumble and not be successful whatsoever in any market, in any size, in any form factor, in any anything. You know, it's literally trying to, you know, put a round peg in a square hole. I don't understand why they're trying that.
The slate was a plot.
I'm going to modify your prediction just then and the one from earlier and say Microsoft will release a phone, but it will be a Chromium phone.
All righty. Well, I will say this. Progressive web apps, which will be the kind of backbone to a system like that, is key. And I will say I did find this good link. It is AppScope. It is appsco.pe. Pardon me, just like saying PE. And this is basically a web store for progressive web apps. I do think before the end of 2019, we are going to see an insane boost in the idea of web apps. I don't think we're going to have it figured out. I don't think they're going to be the end-all be-all. I don't think they're going to be the backbone of anything, but I think they're going to make substantial headway towards the final in 2020, where the only reason to have an app store is for like Fortnite or for something extremely focused.
Could I give an app then? I know we haven't really done one. I wasn't prepared for this, but there is a new browser that has progressive web apps built right into it, especially games. It's just, and this is called the Cake browser. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It gives a little different look on the internet than we're used to from, I'm going to have to try to find a link for you. But built in there, one of the tiles is just games or they call them apps or whatever, and it has, and they don't take any loading really at all. They go right in from your home screen. There's six of them. One of them's called Melon Pinch, and that was much like the Apple knife throwing throwing app. I brought it back a little bit. I am not finding a link for this.
While you search for the link, since we've broken into actual show content, let me read an email from our friend Julian, who says, "Hi, Dor, the manager / executive and the occasional sultan. First off, may I wish you all the best this Christmas season and a happy new year. I'm a regular listener and seldom emailer due to time constraints, and appreciate all the effort you put into the show and the Podnuts Network. So, without further ado, on with the apps. My first is the place where I learned about the other two, App Sales, and it notifies me of premium apps that are discontinued. Job done, enough said. One I bought when I was when on sale was Calendar Widget by Home Agenda. It's a pretty and functional widget for display elements, though not reminders. Pro tip, limit the number of days in the menu to 2 to avoid unnecessary battery drain. And the last one is a kid-friendly car racing game, Dr. Panda Racers. No reading is required, so it's tailored toward the youngest Android users. It's very intuitive, allows for customization of cars and tracks. No steering is demanded. Just press down or release the gas pedal. Normal price is $3, but it was going for free the other day, and my 5-year-old boy loves it. There you have it. Keep up the great work, fellas." And I'll copy those links in.
Who was that from?
That was from Julian.
Very cool.
Who those clearly apps. Is not American.
This is Cake Web Browser Fast Private Ad Blocker Swipe. Great name. From Cake Technologies Incorporated.
That's like a lot of name.
And it kind of reminds you of Google Now or Discover, that Google calls it. It's got like tiles. There's like on my tiles, the slices of news. But what it is the, okay, so the pages, rather than we're scrolling up and down, they scroll side to side. If you do a web search, you just scroll over to the next one and the next one, and the next one for different pages opening up in your, and you can use Google for your search engine. But the one of the neat features also of this is, say, if you want to find a certain word on a, you know, like a control F, you want to find a certain word on a website or a web page, you hit control F and you type in the word. Well, you just hold down on here and you do the find on page. It'll go through and find it on all of your search results. All the pages that it picks up from the Google, it'll already have them highlighted as you swipe through to each page. It'll have, so you can quickly find exactly what you were looking for on all those pages without having to do control F each time you open a new website.
That's pretty cool.
Different. It's different. I mean, I don't know if it's the next big thing, but it works well. And it is just different enough, and it does have the progressive web apps, which brought my attention from that. I would like to make a request for this next year. I just wish Google would get my stock vanilla Android to work the way it did a year ago. Google Now doesn't work. I mean, I can't say, "Hey, Schmoogle," and it open up without needing a secondary unlock. And I've tried everything I can do to fix that. The Schmoogle Now stuff is laggy, it seems like. Even if I squeeze the sides, it takes a few minutes to register.
Well, actively trying to kill Google.
Not minutes, but.
So that's not surprising.
It used to be so instantaneous and fast, and now it is. It just doesn't work nearly as well. I mean, it's almost dangerous if you rely on something like that when you're driving to make your text, like, "Okay, Schmoogle, text my wife, blah, 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 blah." And it picks, and it's almost weird because, like, the Google keyboard worked really well for a long time, and now it's horrible. It doesn't, it's always constantly not correcting words well, doesn't see misspellings. It's just everything's so deprecated on every bit, and I hope that Google's just not giving up on everything. Now I hear they ran some Project Fi deals over the New Year's and Christmas, and now the support, which was awesome, Google Project Fi support was always just super great, and now it's getting compared to Comcast as far as the level of support. I don't know where they're focusing. I don't know. I'm not sure where they're focusing, unless they're all in on the government and they are only working for them, but they're starting to work less and less for us.
Well, they're all about future money. Two more predictions. Machine learning, AI, will not progress 1% of anything because we as a species cannot even define consciousness, much less develop artificial intelligence. And all machine learning means is you turn the output of a task into the input of a task, and then it can flow at its own rate without waiting for a human to click something. That's all machine learning really means, is it regurgitates and regurgitates, and then once in a while a human says, like the eye exam, better or worse, better or worse. That's all machine learning is. So it's only useful for a very small percentage of actual task, like identifying genitalia in pictures. And even then, it's not good.
Not hot dog?
Yeah, exactly. Not a hot dog. Silicon Valley nailed it. So, I mean, Bill Gates himself said in an interview in early December, if you want to understand modern Silicon Valley, just watch the TV show Silicon Valley. And I got to say, everything I see in that show reminds me of something I've seen, witnessed, or talked about in technology. Everything, 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 including the stupid guy with a stupid noise action when Bitcoin reaches a certain price. I've seen it all.
I had Bitcoin alerts.
Yes, that's where he saw it.
Now, I'll actually give a good prediction for once, at least for once, for me. And that is all of the bars will be lowered on technology. It's going to start out sounding bad. All of the bars on technology will slowly come down. The barrier to entry to coding, the barrier to develop the barrier of entry to produce applications, the barrier of entry to publish anything, progressive web or everything, will keep coming down, which will allow everybody from every culture and every denomination and every sect be able to actually make applications like Be My Eyes. We talked about that app now, I don't even know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that over the holiday season, I was listening to two international news reports, and on two different ones was the developer of that application talking about how the good thing about that application is it literally is helping him understand the sheer number of people out there that want to do good. While he had over 100,000 people with impairments in the application, there was well over 1 million people willing to give support and help in the application.
1.848904 is the number of volunteers right now.
Wow. Right. And that is just proof. We as people cannot believe what we are told about industries, about companies, about governments, about agencies, about other entities. We have to first and foremost understand people are people are people. Whether they live in a desert and they literally make $1 a week, or whether they live in a mansion on an island and make $15 million a week. People are people are people, and most people like doing good. Most people like helping each other. Most people would like to help each other as long as it isn't too bad for them, as long as it isn't too detrimental to them. So I believe we're going to see a bunch of barriers keep coming down, keep coming down, keep coming down. If I hear one more person say the word fake news, I'm going to knee him in the crotch, because we've always had fake news. It's called news, and it's called, you know, people just talking, holding conversations. It happens all the time. We're going to see the barriers of entry come down to such a degree that we're going to see a bunch of more people be able to create. And what I'm hoping we're going to see is a bunch of more smaller, homegrown, local silos of communities where people can communicate and partake in small things to help people.
Oh, helping people.
That sounds good.
I think that's the most positive note we've been all night. Let's just stop right there. Let's just stop right. We're like an hour and 15 minutes in, and Dor just gave a sermon about people helping people. I just feel so good about myself. Right. Let's start the year off on a positive note and just walk away.
Yeah, I gotta go write a song real quick, so we gotta end this.
So thanks for bringing me back, everybody. Dor, as always, I am grateful to be included in this fine piece of internet art that we create every week. You, the listener, you are the reason we are here. That we've had a lively group in the chat room tonight, the YouTubers, as they are sometimes known. We encourage you to do that. That is at podnuts.com/live, I believe it is. You can find the chat room there and join us while we're doing the show at 9-ish Eastern time every Thursday night. We encourage you to come and hang out with us. give money. We already talked about Patreon. That's a wonderful thing. I got an email from not from this show, but from my other show, from a listener who said, I have to stop my Patreon pledge because I can just no longer stand with a company that censors in the way that Patreon does. And I can't give money via PayPal because I don't agree with the things their company stands for. And my response to him and my response to you out there, and I know Dore would agree with me, is don't compromise your principles to support us. You know, that would be the absolute opposite of everything we stand for. And what I told that guy to do, and I'm pretty sure Dore will agree with me here, if you wanted to support us financially, but you can't find a way to do that, go take that money and do something good with it. Donate to a charity and say, it, when they ask who's it in favor of, put Podnuts. And that would be the most amazing thing you could do.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. There are plenty of local people around all of us that need some measure of help, period. They are easy to find. Trust me. Ask family, ask friends, ask coworkers. Put something up on a bulletin board at work. You will always find people, genuine people who need genuine help, just because, you know, bad stuff can sometimes happen to good people. The only comment I'll say about Patreon is to expect perfection is to have planned failure. There is no company in existence who can do a thing that like Patreon does and actually make everybody happy. It doesn't happen. So if you expect them to be perfect, you will completely and always be completely dissatisfied. If you don't want to partake in their company, you don't have to. Nobody's telling you to. I am going to continue to do it because, to be quite honest, they're not banning me. I'm also not using their platform to try to pitch an agenda of any kind. So I don't think they are going to ban me.
Eric, you got any final words of wisdom for the evening?
I'm just glad to see that we all made it to 2019. And yeah, be good to one another. I think it's going to be a nice year. It was a weird 2018. It's only one way to go.
In the immortal words of the great philosopher Dylan Tim, be excellent to each other. Good night, everybody. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
My name is Jeff Halsh. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/computer repair podcast live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.